In Perek Yud, on page Nun Zayin, you see that the title is L'Sisrei Torah V'Razeha. So this Perek is a collection of some very remarkable Torahs from Av Kook and the Inyan of Sisrei Torah, of Pnimius HaTorah. This is only part of what we have from Rav Kook's writings. It's really a tiny part of Rav Kook's writings. After we finish the Perek, we're going to learn a whole second chelik of this Perek, which Rav Tzvi Yehuda Zichron Levracha had from his father's notes that he transcribed after the Eretz HaTorah was already printed. We have much more. And then after that, there's also much more. It's one of the ik and the kudas of all of Rav Kook's teachings was this Indian of Pnimius HaTorah. And he felt that the tikkun of the entire generation and our being able to bring the Mashiach faster into the world depended upon this. So he always comes back to it. So, as you know, this is not written by Rav Kook. Eretz HaTorah, Rav Kook didn't write a Sefer Eretz HaTorah. We've spoken about that a lot, but it's not. He didn't write Eretz HaTorah. These are Eretz that were collected, that were brought together. There are many, many more Eretz on this Inyan of Torah. Frat Pnimius HaTorah, Mamarim, very, very great and beautiful Mamarim. Of course, we don't have time to do, but since this is such a big Nakuda in Rav Kook's entire view of the world, so it's important that we spend some time on it. Aleph. So we're going to try to go quickly, and then because there's a lot to do, and to get a picture, to put together a picture afterwards more. It's very hard, and whenever we learn, we're just trying to understand together, to translate and to try to understand what he's saying. Mosai hu toiv lilmoy sisrei Torah. How does a person know when he's ready to learn sisrei Torah? Mosai hu toiv. When is it good? It's a big question. It's a very important question. We're always worried about and wondering about. Mosai hu toiv lilmoy sisrei Torah. So, Rav Kook's answer to this big question, as you'll see, is very different. It's very different than what we found in the Sfarim that talk about this. It's very different. And he doesn't speak here of a person having achieved a certain intellectual madriga of understanding. He speaks about a tshuka. K'sha ha-tshuka ha-pnimis shal kirvas Hashem hi chazaka. When a person's longing, the inner longing, the inner yearning for closeness to God is strong in a person. That's harder than being smart. Right? That's a lot harder than being smart. K'sha'atshuka ha'pnim yishol kirvas Hashem hi chazaka. When that inner yearning and longing for closeness to God is strong. And not only is it strong, so you try to give it, you try to feed it with nigla, try to learn and go to shiurim, and do your best to feed this tshuka for kirvas Hashem. But misalu misgabaris, it's getting stronger and stronger. Misalu misgabaris. It's also not enough, but it's getting stronger and stronger. It's ashle titein manoach nefesh, so it gives your soul no rest. You simply can't find peace within yourself. The longing, the kivas Hashem is so great that actually titein manoach lenefesh, the person can't have menuchas hanefesh. Ve'ene mazbiya es cheftza b'shum teichen ruchni v'kadosh shba'olam. And this yearning, this longing, he cannot be satisfied by any spiritual, b'shum teichen ruchni v'kadosh shba'olam, by anything that's spiritual and holy that he's hearing, that he's being taught. He's just not feeling full. It doesn't bring him to that kivus Hashem. He doesn't feel that he's there, and he wants it so badly. You know, it's the Beis Yisrael's Yahrzeit. It's the Beis Yisrael's Yahrzeit. It's Beis Adar. Tonight is the Beis Yisrael's Yahrzeit. So there was a bocher someplace, I forgot which town he was in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, in Ramat HaSharon, he was in Ramat HaSharon, this bocher. How the Beis Yisrael knew about this bocher, what the bocher was going through, doesn't say, I don't know. But the Beis Yisrael knew a friend of this bocher. Apparently this bocher was going through some crisis of some sort, and the Rebbe sent his Gabi to go get this bocher that was in Yerushalayim, the friend of that fellow. It was in Yerushalayim, and the bocher came, you know, shaking. The Beis Yisrael was a pachad, and he came to the Beis Yisrael, and the Beis Yisrael told him that, you know, this bocher and your friend in Ramat HaSharon. He says, yeah. He says, I want you to go be mechazik him and eat chizik. He could use some chizik. We're good friends. Go with Machazikin. So that was on Thursday night or something like that. I don't remember what it said, but and then the next morning, the Rebbe saw this fellow in the Bismedrash, and he called him over, and he said, "What happened? Did you go to Ramat HaSharon? What's going on?" So he said, Rebbe, it was just, Rebbe told me last night, I'm working on it. I'll try to get there. So he says, he said to Rebbe Loshen, don't worry, Rebbe, I'll take care of it. And the Rebbe said to him, the Beis said to him, maybe you don't worry. He says, but I can't close my eyes. I find no peace in myself until you go help this Bach. So don't tell me, don't worry. I'm not able to sleep. I'd like to sleep a little bit. Whatever it was, an hour that he slept in it. There's such a thing that a person can't find any peace with himself. It's not just that he's worried or he would like. This is the Tanai for Sisrei Torah. Actually, titen manoach lenefesh. He doesn't have, he can't find within himself menuchas hanefesh. Because of this emptiness, because of the longing that felokus, that's not being satisfied with the regular limudim that he's being taught, what he was raised with. Ki im ha-higoyin ha-pnimi ha-medabe b'razei oilam. The only thing that can fill this person, the only thing that can satisfy him, and that could bring him menucha, is the higayon hapnimi, this deep inner higayon way of thinking and understanding. Hamadaba that speaks of Rosei Olam, the secrets of the universe. Zoisi hatchumah shel esek b'tayr lishma. This is one of the tchunas, one of the characteristics of learning Torah Lishma. When a person learns Torah Lishma, Sha'al Zesh, when a person learns Torah Lishma, that type of limud, that type of learning Torah Lishma, not to be just smarter to know a lot, but the person is learning Torah, whatever that is, Chumash, Gemara, but the person is learning Lishma, And that limud, that learning Torah Lishma, ignites within the person a tshuka like this. If somebody learns Torah just for some chitzanistic reasons, whatever. I don't know why everybody should learn Torah, whatever, but if the limud is a chitzanistic limud, then it oftentimes does not lead to any kind of a feeling that's being described here, some sort of a tshuka pnimis that's not being satisfied, a longing, lav davka. It doesn't necessarily lead to that. But when a person learns Torah Lishma, it's a klal, v'chala oisik b'Torah, harezim misala. V'chala oisik b'Torah, it says in Pirkei Avos, v'chala oisik b'Torah, harezim misala. When a person is oisik b'Torah, and the oisik of Torah is an oisik, is of course Lishma, harezim misala. The person becomes greater. Remember when we were learning the Inyan of Torah Lishma, the very beginning of the Sefer, that Halayma Torah Lishma is Zoychel Advarim Harbe. We spoke about that. So far from Rabbi Meir Promizlana, Amaisi with Rabbi Meir Promizlana, but Halayma Torah Lishma is Zoychel Advarim Harbe. The zechiah, that zechiah to be zoich l'dvarim harbei, is the biggest zechiah that a person can have from learning Torah Lishma. Is that he comes to a point where he is actually titein manoach l'nefesh, that he's not able to find peace within himself, because the more that he learns nigla, the more that he learns Torah, the more he has a longing to get closer to the Bari Olam. And he doesn't feel that that's being satisfied. And he needs to see more. He needs to learn more. That's the Mahalach that brings a person to Sisrei Torah. Yeah.
How long does the average person never get to that point?
It's a very good question. But if a person looks at something like this from the outside and feels, well, that I guess I'm not ready because I don't have this kind of a tshuka, and I sleep very well at night, and I don't have such a tshuka, fe'lukus, but I would like to have such a tshuka. Stama, that's the key, and we'll see more about that later on. That even if it isn't yet a tshuka itself, but the person is unsatisfied that he doesn't have such a tshuka. It hurts him that he doesn't have a tshuka. Rav Kook talks about that. And he wants to be ma'ir such a tshuka, and he doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't know how else to do it unless he pulls off some of the layers of that are covering the Kadosh Baruch Hu and to take a peek. So he's going to talk about that in Mitzvah. We'll see. It's also an inyan of a person not having menucha. Remember, I don't remember where I read this, but I read recently that there was in 1967 when they came into Yerushalayim and they came to the Kaisel. So it was a very, very big service. Can't to be massive such a thing. It was a big service, and the soldiers that came there. So I read that there was a frum soldier that was approaching the Kosel, and there was a friend of his and this frum guy burst out in crying. He could, like many, they couldn't control himself. He started to cry, and there was a guy, a friend of his, in his thing, that was a complete what they call chiloni. It was a totally secular guy. And not just secular, but yet in Yonim, you know, with the Yiddish guy. And he's crying like a baby. So the frum guy, the afterwards he was talking, the frum guy said to his friend, I know why I'm crying, but I don't understand why you're crying. So the guy that wasn't from, he said, "I'm crying." He says, "I'm crying because I desperately want to cry. I'm crying because I know that I need to cry, and I'm crying that it's hard for me to cry. I'm crying over that. I know that I should be crying, and it breaks my heart that I'm not able to cry over this, and I want to." It's Madrega. I don't know what happened to this guy. I suspect that he's able to cry. It's very Madrega to have such a chuka. But this is the result of being Isaac B'Torah Lishma. Hareza Mis'ala. Brings a person higher. A person goes higher, so then he wants more. Higher doesn't mean smarter. It means closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's not satisfied. Beis. Lo b'chal eis roi ha'odam l'hoifoz ruchanias elyonis. Rav Kook says it's not always the time. A person's not always ro'i. He's not always ro'i. It's not always, I don't use the word worthy. It's just not the right time. Lo b'chal eis roi ha'odam l'hoifoz ruchanias elyonis. It's not always the appropriate time, and he's not always worthy. That there should be something greater. That there should be hafos ruchonius elyonis in his life. That there should be higher, more exalted, spiritual hisoyrus in his life. It's not always roy for that. V'ha'itim harabish she'ein behen ha'or elyona. And there's many times in a person's life when he doesn't feel that great longing, and he doesn't have this kind of esayrus. So the question is, so what about, what is it during those times? So Rav Kook says, hein harui is lias mukdashis l'limudim haniglum, b'gufei torah v'lavei demasis. The main thing is that during those times, not to worry about it, not to be nervous, why is that? But the ikar is during those times, in between the haifaz ruchaniyais elyainais, in between those times, which we learned last week, that Rav Kook was saying, when we were talking about the Hagdama, the Chavis Levavs, that was the ikar avayda of the Kadmainim, of the Rishayim, the ikar avayda of the Kadmainim was Dveikas Bashem. Not Pilpulim in Igla, but Dveikas, his Karvas, and Limudim of Dveikas Bashem. In between those times, of course, the ikkar is not to worry and to wonder, but the ikkar is to be learning. That the time should be spent l'limudim haniglim, to be learning halacha and tanakh, whatever that person is learning. The gufei Torah, the nigla, the gufei Torah, v'lavayda masas, and to occupy oneself with avayda masas, with doing mitzvahs and avayda. So that's like you're on a holding pattern during that time. Avokaven she'or ha'neshamim misparitz, but when the light of the soul explodes, when it breaks through, whatever there was, for whatever reason he wasn't feeling during that time, so it's okay, it's how it is. And during that time when it's not, so then there goes to be learning into the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim and so on. But then, when the Or HaNeshama is misparitz, when the light of the Neshama breaks through that barrier, miyad tzrichim liten loy eschavsha. You have to immediately allow it its freedom. You have to give it a chance to express itself in you. Miyad tzrichim liten loy eschavsha. It has to be free. Shielach v'yisrachev, that it should go, move forward and expand. Yitzayir, yedame, to bring to a greater and richer understanding and imagination and so on. Yaskil, understanding v'yasig, hasagis. Yishav v'yishtoike ka'odon l'govei gevayim, The person should not hold these feelings back. He should allow the neshama free expression to long. Legov he gevohim, for the highest heights. Limkar sharashai, for the makar, for the root, the source of his existence. L'chaye nishmaso, for the life of his soul. L'or chaye nishmas kol ha'ilamim. L'or, for the light, that longing for the light of the soul of all worlds. L'or kel elyon, to that light, that exalted light. L'tuvai v'hadara, and all of its goodness and all of its beauty. Gimel. Kishem shemenuya gmurahi. The same way that it's been taught and it's clear and it's agreed upon. Shimroya Adam Shahaslachosai Hiberuchnias Atar of Chachmas Emes. That if a person sees that his hatzlocha comes through the ruchnis of Torah and chachmas emes, dafka through learning pnimis of Torah, he sees that's his hatzlocha. Of course, hatzlocha here doesn't mean in any kind of a chitzon yistig way. That's his hatzlocha in kirvas Hashem, in his avodas Hashem. The ikar hatzlocha that he has is in ruchnis of Torah and chachmas emes. The kashlo ha'iyun ha'ilchaisi, and because of that, it's hard for him to focus, and to engage in iyun ha'ilchaisi, to go into depth in the inyanim of halacha, because he always feels that his hatzlocha is in the ruchnius of Torah and chachmas emes. That's his hatzlocha. That's his chiyus. So it's hard for him. It's hard for him to put himself back into these inyanim in halacha. Oz then chiyuvai hapnimi, not the chiyuvai chaysani. There could be a mashgiach standing there in the yeshiva. I'm not talking about, again, you have to be very careful. The person should be misudar. But the chiyuv ha'pnimi. That's why I've told a lot of the cherva that the fact that you're learning something doesn't mean that you have to put it on the table in the yeshiva. You don't have to put it on the table in this medrash, that everybody should know. It's better that it shouldn't be known. It's a chiyuv pnimi. The chiyuv is a chiyuv pnimi. When something is a chiyuv pnimi, it shines much, much stronger. It's much brighter. The Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar was sick, so Rabbi Yochanan came to visit. And you know that Rabbi Yochanan was exceptionally, exceptionally beautiful. Rabbi Yochanan, extraordinarily beautiful. I mean, his appearances was beautiful. And he came in. So it says. So Rabbi Elazar needed some chiyus. So the Gemara says an interesting thing. It says that Rabbi Yochanan rolled up his sleeve, and the light of his arm was shining, and it gave a chiyus to Rabbi Elazar. The light of his arm. So one of the Bali Musa asked, I don't remember who, one of the Bali Musa asked, it's odd, Rabbi Yochanan's face was shining. Huh? Rabbi Yochanan's face was shining. The more panim of Rabbi Yochanan. So why did Rabbi Yochanan roll up his sleeve and that brought the chiyus? from the light of his arm. So this Bamusa said that in a Hanami it's true that the light of Rabbi Yochanan's face was shining. But the chiyus can only come from something which is shining but covered. That's what the or pnimi is. So the arm he always kept covered. Achiyus comes only from light which is covered. Achiyus pnimi. Not a chitzoniyistic thing. Achiyus pnimi. So if Cook is saying here that if a person sees that his hatzlacha in Avodas Hashem is really from pnimiyus atayr, then there's his own chiv ha-pnimi hu l'gboyas ha-chelek ha-yoyse ikari mizmanoi le'iyun ha-hu. Then the chiv ha-pnimi is to set up the majority of his time, chelek ha-yoyse ikari mizmano, the main amount of time, the bigger chunk of time of his learning, should be given and spent Hamistagal Rucho, that fits his own personal Ruach, that satisfies that Ruach of this individual person. K'may Chayn, Im Raya Adam Shalimuda B'Sisrei Tayra Kadesh, I say, if a person sees that by learning Sisrei Tayra, it makes him holier. It's Mekadoshim. It makes his life a life of more Kedusha. Ma'ala es ruchai. It's ma'ala his ruach. It lifts his spirits. Umekarveyo el ha-kedusha and brings him closer to Kedusha. Bahargoshas leiv v'seichel pnimi with Hagoshes Lev, the great feeling of the heart, and Seichel Pnimi, and Seichel Pnimi of the mind. That's what he gets from learning Sisrei Tayra. O mihalimud ha-nigla, but when he learns Nigla, again, Rav Kook is not talking to Bachim, young Bachim in Yeshiva. Every time I have to make sure to remind ourselves. But as the person gets older, Mahalimud ha-nigla, Eina roya sapri ha-nechmad hazeh. When he learns nigla, when he learns the revealed part of Torah, he doesn't feel this, that it's bringing him more into Kedusha, that it's bringing a stronger hagoshes halev and a seichel pnim. He doesn't feel that. V'loy oid. And not only that, Elish in a maspik lagarish menavas gazes on the tears. All the learning that he does in Nigla, it hasn't helped him much when it comes to all of the lower and most base instincts of his personality. He's learning year after year, and he's the same Balkaz, the same Baltaiva, the same Narishkeit, and so on. It's not Makadishim. Shouldn't Masbik Lagarish when it was Gasus on the Tears? Shulmargish Beruchai, that he feels in his Ruach. Oz Moifes Gomerhu, it's an absolute proof, it's a clear sign. Shetikunai Hu Belimura Chelekazer, Shalor HaTorah Pnimi Shachach Mesames. That this person's tikkun will come through learning this chelik of Pnimiyus HaTorah, of Chochmas Emes. Can you imagine putting this in the newspapers? I had a conversation with somebody in Chinuch yesterday, who teaches in Yeshiva, and he teaches an English subject in Yeshiva. And he's very friendly with the boys, and the boys are relaxed and they talk to him. And the boys talked to him. And it's a yeshivish place, and the fellows enjoy spending time with him. He teaches them the English subs or whatever he's doing. They also talk. And in his conversations that are going on every now and then, from the beginning of the year, so it comes out that he told me this yesterday. He says most of the boys don't believe much in anything. They don't believe much in Torah, in the Shemaim. They don't believe much in Hashem. They're all kinds of. They're asking to him. They ask very, very basic questions about Emunah. So this fellow, this particular fellow, has in his family, in his background, he comes from a Chabad background. He's not a card-carrying Lubavitcher now, but he comes from such a shayrish. So I must have spoken to some of his mishpach, whatever, and had some ideas. And he wants to learn. So he had an idea that perhaps he would learn with the Bachum, not in the English class, but he would have a group with them on their free time, whatever, and they would learn Shar Yichud Emunah. They would learn from Tanya Shar Yichud Emunah, which is the Yisaitis of Emunah, to learn about Hashem. That's all. About God. About belief in God. So he thought this is like a. He had no idea this was going to be like a radical suggestion. He had no idea. He was a very optimistic person. This conversation happened. So he said that. So he went to the administration. They were very worried. You said something to the boys? So he said, I didn't. I said maybe we could do something. I'll ask, of course, for issues and so on. So he said that they're having meetings and stuff. And he said to the Hanhola, he said, but I have to tell you that these guys that you're learning with all day, they most of them don't believe in God. So one of the fellows said, well, that's something that, you know, at home, you have to develop a feeling for that in the house. And he said, I don't know where you're supposed to develop the feeling. It didn't happen, whatever. They didn't develop that. It didn't happen somewhere. It didn't happen. So maybe we can start working on it now. So he said that, you know, it's not our mahalach. So he also wants to say, well, I don't know what your mahalach is, but I'm telling you, this, whatever the mahalach was until now, it's not working. So maybe this would help. And he's like very tumultuous. He doesn't know, you know, that he walked like into this nest. He didn't know. Like, he just thought, like, what's so bad? You know, he learned that. It gave him a lot of chizik and his belief. And he thought it would be a good thing. He heard that the Baal Tanya was very religious and he didn't know that there was an Indian. You know, he's Tzmivizdik. So having meetings about it. Right, they didn't say offhand, absolutely not. They said, you know, we have to discuss it and talk to people and to speak to some Gedolim and Irish Yeshivas and whatever. And, you know, we'll see you next week. I don't know if they're going to have a vote or something. I'm not sure what they're going to do. And he was very surprised by that. He didn't understand. He didn't know that he was doing anything that was so complicated. And the boys were very excited about it. He said, he did say that, you know, there's a safe and it's all about Hashem and we could do it. And the boys were very, very excited that they wanted to do it. And he doesn't know. He's waiting now over the weekend to see whether he has rishus. Maybe he will get rishus. I'll let you know. Maybe he will get rishus. It's still pending, whatever, waiting. Bets. Huh?
Big bets?
No, I hope it'll be good.
Some yeah. Say, oh,
what?
We'll cook and they'll say, wait.
No, so he said, should would it be okay if I suggest to this Rosh Hashiva to call me? I said, no, don't. Don't do that. That's it'll be okay. Let's see how it works out. That's not going to help. That could only hurt. So let's see how it goes. But even a conversation like this. It means maybe things are moving a little bit. We go very, very, very slowly, as you know. Like this week's Mishpacha magazine is about mental illness, emotional illness in the Jewish community. So this is like 1953. 1953, and now we're saying, hey, you know what? There's some funny stuff going on. You know, the people that they have anxiety and depression. That's in America, this was all over the papers, and everybody's screaming and crying and yelling and working on it and having all kinds of conferences and meetings and learning and going to school and having doctorates and professionals are coming out. This is already myself in 50, 60 years. And now it's making the headlines by us. Something, we found out that there are people that are upset. There are people that are Jews that are nervous. We didn't know about that. We didn't know that. We found out, so every week there's another, we found out that there are things going on in the community. There's some with men and women and boys and things. We didn't know. This is news to us. It just now hit the newsstands by us. It's a ma'aseh from 50, 60 years ago plus. So it's starting. It goes very slow. So we'll see what happens with this. It'll be very interesting to see. Rav Kook says that not only are you allowed, so I mentioned to this fella that I'd be happy if he wants, I can give him a photostat of a letter that was sent from Shraga Feigl Mendelovitz, Zechet Sadek Levrocha. He was the Rashiva of Tarvadaz. He would never be allowed, he never agreed to being called the Rashiva. He called himself Mr. Mendelovitz and he wasn't allowed to be called Rabbi. But Rav Shraga Feigl Mendelovitz, whose mishpacha, our guest of Animal Shabbos, Moshe Mendelovitz, that's his mishpacha, that Rav Shraga Feigl sent a letter to the Minchas Elazar. Rav Shraga Feigl was a Hungarian. It bothered a lot of the Gutfisher that the biggest koyach in Torah in America who set up all the yeshivas was Hungarian. But that's the metzias. You have something to be proud of. So Shraga Feigl sent a letter to Minchas Elazar, asking whether or not it's okay to learn Tanya with American boys in Torah V'das. Whether or not we should learn Tanya with American boys. It was, it wasn't like an American boy like now. These American boys that were, you know, Brooklyn Dodgers. Before they moved. So there's a letter from Minchas Elazar, and Minchas Elazar says, a question? The Sherish of Amun of the Jew and the whole... And he says, Adarabba, that in America, that this is what's most needed. This was written back in the 20s. This most needed is to learn. You know, I don't know if that would have Ashpah, that it's a letter from the Minchas Elazar. That's not from their Machne either, you understand? They're not, they would say the Minchas Elazar was a great person, but it's from Unzer, is not from our camp. But it's not only, not are you allowed to, it's a chiv. Remember, as we learned from Matl Zilber, that's not for everybody. It's not for everybody because there's certain neshamas that's not there. That say that. He spoke about that. But we're talking about a person who feels this. So not only is he allowed to, but Rav Kook says that should be his ikka limud. The ikka esek in his learning should be in these inyanim. And when he feels a polishing, a cleaning, and a purification in his soul, inside of him, he feels that through these limudim. Ad shegam halimud hanigli yoedideyu b'madreges hakodesh, to such a degree that when he's learning also, when he's learning Gemara and he's learning Halacha, it also brings him up and closes Hashem. It also gives him a chiyus. In other words, he has such a hisiris from what he's learning in Pnimius that when he goes then into learning the other things, it's all part of the of that program of Kirvas Hashem, of getting closer to God. Yuchala Habris Gula Yosef, then he can expand his borders even more. Even more. Ad Shiemale is Tafkida Yof. In other words, one of the simonim, one of the signs, this is a very important couple of words, that one of the signs that his learning of Pnimius HaTorah is working is not just that he feels closer to Hashem when he's learning the Pnimius HaTorah. One of the signs that it's working is that when he learns Chumash Rashi and if he learns a Blad Gemara, it also has more of his sayings. It's more gishmak to him. Not the same as when he's learning Pnimius, but he has a gishmak. More of a gishmak. It has an influence. His learning of Pnimius, because if the learning of Pnimius is real, that means it's bringing him close to the Hashem. And by getting close to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, all of Teres Hashem is beautiful, and Teres Hashem Tamima is Meshivas Nefesh. Not just Pnimius gives back the soul, but when you learn a Blad Gemara, also Meshivas Nefesh. Teres Hashem Tamima. So that's also a simon. But if a person is learning Pnimis Atar, and he can't look at a pasuk Chumash Rashi, so then something is not going right, because that limud and Pnimis should have such a hashpa that every Torah that he comes into contact with will have a t'ima of that Torah Hashem t'mima, and it's meshivas nefesh, and it brings back the soul, and it brings the simcha, and so on. He knows that when it comes to Pnimis, it's stronger. That's true. That's his chaylik in the world. Afal pichen, when he learns nigla, it's not the same when he was learning nigla before. The pnimius should be helping his learning in nigla. That also he feels more of a connection. Imimeli is yuchala harba is gvula yaiser. He can expand the bodies even more. The Yoshuv Oid Les Anig Oid Bilimude Harozim Hel Yoinim. And he should go back and learn more and more, and on a deeper level, the Rozim Hel Yoinim, these great exalted secrets of Torah. Again, each person, of course, according to his level. Doesn't mean you should start opening up, looking at Eitz Chaim or something, but each person, according to his Madrega, what Pnimius is. For one person, the Pnimius could be to learn Michtar Meliyahu, understand it. Each person, but Pnimius. And everybody has to be careful, each one according to his or her madrega, not to be learning things that are not going to be beneficial, are not going to be understood. To learn, each one according to what he's able to. Yoshua Lis Anik Oid Blumudeh Razam El Yainim. Lechol, to eat, meaning to enjoy, to eat. Ula Sava, and to satisfy himself, to enjoy and to eat, not to be worried what anybody would think or say. Again, these things should be mostly kept from other people. People don't have to know about it unless, again, you have a close chav or somebody that you learn with, or chaverim, a few chaverim. But it's not something, you don't, look, I told you that, years ago, that one of my nieces, they took a film, and they were in Yerushalayim, we were watching with the family, they sent back a film, when they were she was in seminary, and she was with a friend of hers, and the friend was carrying, I think, remember I told her, she was carrying a Me'er Shiloach. It was, she's saying, this little girl was carrying a Me'er Shiloach, and so it's also, it's a good sign of things that are going on in our generation, but you don't begin with Me'er Shiloach. It's not like it's not 3 weeks into seminary, Me'er Shiloach. There are swarm to come before Me'er Shiloach, there are other things before Me'er Shiloach. Lechol, each person according to, you could eat the best food in the world, but if your system's not ready for it, you can have a lot of aggravation. Yeah, it could be very good food, but you have to have the right kalim to be able to have that food. Lechol ulasava vilamachasa osik. There the Gemara. The Gemara is in Pesachim. The Gemara there is asking what it means, L'machasa Osik Yoimin in Daniel. What does that mean? The word Machasa means a kisui. What's a kisui? A covering. So the Gemara there asks, Mai L'machasa Osik Yoimin. What does that mean? What does that mean? The covering of the ancient one of days. What does that mean? The Gemara there asks, and the Gemara says, "Zeh machaseh dvarim shekisa atik yoimin." It's talking about the one who continues to cover those things that the ancient one has covered. The Gemara asks, "Umay ninu?" What's that? What does that mean? Sisrei Torah. It means Sisrei Torah, the secrets of Torah. The Gemara there is identifying Mechasa Osik, that which is the deepest part of Torah that Hashem Yisbarach has covered and reveals only to those who are longing for it. But the Ikar is V'hakol L'shem Shamayim, everything L'shem Shamayim, not Chas V'Chalila, some ulterior motive, but L'shem Shamayim. the kavana tahira, with a pure intent. Vloivaza enus ani. Vloivaza enus ani is a pasuk in Tehillim. Havbez, as you see. Kilevaza vloishikats enus ani vloihister panav mimenu. Again, the pasuk, the Tehillim zug, as you know, that pasuk, if you're familiar with it. Kilevaza vloishikats enus ani. Hashem neither despises nor loathes. Levozer leshikatz. He doesn't despise or loathe. Enus oni. The supplication of the poor. Remember that in the last sentence of Kook usually puts a pasuk or a chazal that brings it all together. That says it all over. So this pasuk, ki levozer leshikatz enus oni. Hashem doesn't despise or loathe the supplication of the poor, the crying out and the begging of the poor man. The poor man that Rav Kook here has been talking about is the one who is longing for closeness to God, and he feels impoverished. And he wants very, very, very much to have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's why he's poor. And the pasuk says, "Ki lo yivozer v'lo yishikatz enus ani." Don't worry, because there might be some people who know, but then they'll tell you that this is not right and you shouldn't, da 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 da, or they'll have a board meeting about it or something, whether you should be close to God or believe in God. And the pasuk says, Hashem doesn't despise and He doesn't loathe the supplication; He never turns away the supplication enus ani of the poor one who is desperate, who feels impoverished. V'loy hister panav mimenu, and he doesn't conceal his face from him. V'loy hister panav mimenu. In other words, there's Torah that's concealed, and there are people who should not be going over there. If you're interested in writing a thesis, or if you're interested in saying some interesting Dvar Torah that maybe nobody will be zoche to understand or something. And that's your intention. So Hashem covers that. Hashem is master panav. He hides his face. But if you're a poor person, and if you're chalishing for the Baruch Shalom, and you want very, very much kivus alakim, then Hashem promises, I'm not gonna despise such a thing, and I don't loathe such a thing. Lehister panav mimenu. And Hashem will not go on hiding his face from this person. Hashem will show this person his face. Hashem will take off the coverings. And don't worry about it, Hashem says. I won't hide my face from you. If you feel this way, that you're an Ani, not some kind of a Balgaiva, an Osher, a Gvir, that you already think that you know a lot and you want to know some more interesting things, some more Hashkafa. Not that, but you feel like you're an Ani, and that you have no rest and no peace within yourself, because you want to get closer to the Baruch Shalom. So Hashem promises this, Ki lo yivozer v'lo yishikatz enus ani. I will never turn away the poor person who has such a longing. V'lo yihister panav mimenu. And Hashem will not hide his face from that person. From other people, Hashem hides his face. From that person, Hashem promises, he's not going to hide himself from that person. You keep on going. Hashem says, I'm going to show you. More and more and more you'll understand. Lehister panav mimenu. Okay, we should be zoichim Mr. Hashem for such a haaris panim. So now, it's very shchedish adar. And shchedish adar says the chedush of Mother Tzadikim say that adar is losh nevdira of the aluf shalom dar. Of aluf shalom that it's a time where a person has an ability to be marbim b'simcha. And what's the meaning of being marbim b'simcha? Because I mentioned that we see that when it comes to mishnichnas of, when it comes to the month of Av, that we're mematim b'simcha, that we decrease the joy. So we have halacha that tells us what we have to do. Masumatan, business, and whatever, and laundry. There's all kinds of dinim about what does it mean to be memayt the simcha. But we don't know. But we don't know what. We don't know what do we do to be ma'ar b'simcha. It's a good question, no? What does it mean to be ma'ar b'simcha? So, okay, you put up a sign, a fish, and it says, Mishnechel Sa'ad ma'ar b'simcha. Okay, it's a good tazach. But, you know, you come to the house and you look at the fish, and it doesn't make you happy. So, what's the meaning? There's one thing in the world that's guaranteed. That's Mesam Chalev. And that's Torah. It's Mir Sinayim. And it's Mesam Chalev. And it's Nechmod and Mipaz and Mizohav Rav, Mesukim and Drash and Nefes Sufim. So if Chazal says such a lotion, the Mishnechnes Ada, that when the Bar Eilam is coming into the world and the difficult months are finished and the Bar Eilam has come to be Dar, to live with us here in this world and his Pashas Truma, which is the Ikka, as the Mishkan is what? B'shachanti b'soichan, a deer b'sachtoinim in this world. So then what are we supposed to do? To be Marim b'simcha. Teres is to learn more. To learn more Torah, both in the amount that we learn and in the depth that we learn, because there's nothing else in the world that's guaranteed to bring simcha that could take a person so completely away from other things. I saw brought down from the Lubavitch Rebbe Sufsky Liner. Because now you have people that they go to yeshiva and they carry their cell phones with them, and the yeshivas are trying to do something about it. So somebody was telling me, so that now they don't have the ringing, it used to be ringing, now they're sitting with the texting and so on. The Lubavitch Rebbe Sufsky Liner, so he was nifta before texting, right? And cell phones, yeah, they're probably already starting, but it wasn't like now. But I don't remember what year that thing came out. But the Lubavitch Rebbe said that when you're sitting in the Beis Medrash, when you're sitting and learning, it should be, you should come to learn whatever day of the week, whatever, it should always be Shabbos. Shabbos. That when you sit and learn it, it's Shabbos. It's a Tuesday. But when you're learning, Shabbos. Shabbos. And that means nothing else. Shabbos. When you learn that way, Shabbos dik. Even on a Tuesday or Wednesday, when you learn Shabbos dik, Shabbos not allowed to have anything like that. You're not allowed to touch anything like that. It's muktze. When a person learns Shabbos dik, so that Torah that Shabbos dik is Meshivas Nefesh. And that could help. If a person has itchy fingers, like a lot of the Chevron have with the holding, always touching and looking and doing. So try to go into that. But the Lubavitch Rebbe said it should be Shabbos. When you have such an Indian of Shabbos, so you don't put these things away. And whatever, you know, whatever multi-billion dollar deal that they're calling you about, so they'll, if you believe in God, so they'll call you about it after you finish learning. You should be Zayich Mitzvah Shem, a good Chodesh, and a good Yom, and a good Shabbos.